Well, good evening, and I am so delighted to be here, and my wife and I to be your guest. You know, we have been traveling, representing Tipton for almost 3 years. I have been preacher and local work for 39 years. So, you know, you kind of hear about churches and all that kind of thing and try to keep up, but when you're behind the pulpit every Sunday, you don't get to do that. It's been a real joy for us to travel all over Oklahoma and Texas. And, you know, everywhere we go, we're treated as honored guests, and so we are delighted to be here with you tonight. And what I'm going to do is just share with you the Tipton home story. And we're going to start out and talk about where we came from, and then we're going to talk about some about where we are today, and then I want to share with you a vision of the future. If I can figure out how to advance this. Okay, Tipton Home, originally founded in 1921 in Canadian, Texas. We have the distinction of being the oldest children's home continually in operation, affiliated with the Churches of Christ that's west of the Mississippi River. And how this all started was there in the church in Canadian, Texas, was a family that had five children. And their mother died, and so the church met, and they were very concerned, we need to do something about these children. One of the older couples in the congregation who had raised their kids had said, these children could come and stay with us if the church would assist us and help us to do that. And that was agreed, and so four children moved into this house. And it was just a simple house of that time, remember 1921, but things seemed to be going good. However, word then got around that the Church of Christ in Canadian, Texas will take care of children who need a good home. And so more and more kids came. And it got up to, wasn't a matter of something, of several months or about a year, there were 20 children in this house. That's a lot of kids in an ordinary house, isn't it? Now, I can relate to that a little bit because I was raised in southwestern Oklahoma, and I have eight brothers, and all of us brothers have eight sisters. Now, do a little math there. How many kids do you think that is in one household? This brother's shaking his head like that's surely too many to try to raise. You knew we had to be raised on a farm to find enough food for us to eat. But if you did the adding right and multiplying, that's 17, isn't it? Now, most people say 16, and I say that's just like when I was growing up. When it came time to call to dinner, I was left out. So anyway, at that point, the home, and this was operated under the oversight of the Canadian Church of Christ and their shepherds, knew they needed to do something better to take care of the kids. You see the building up here. This was an abandoned private academy that the city of Canadian, Texas now owned. They agreed to let the church use this. And so church people, not only from that congregation, but a surrounding area, went in and did a lot of cleanup and refurbishing, and came time to move in, and there was 18 children to move in. You see here, by looking at the windows, that there were three stories, but there's also a full basement underneath. So that was plenty of room. Then word really got around that there is a orphan home, they referred to in those days, operated by the Canadian Church of Christ for kids that needs a place to be. And back then, you didn't have to have a whole lot of processing, and so people would come and just start unloading kids. And they got up to 70 children that was here in this house. Big enough to take care of them. However, the city said, we don't want you to use our building anymore. And that's when the home moved to Tipton, Oklahoma, and that was in 1924. When I introduced you to the gentleman up in the top, Brother Saul and his wife Maggie Tipton, they had a passion for children who needed a good home. Maggie was raised as an orphan girl, and she had three siblings. They really weren't raised so much by any family, but in that area there was a lot of cotton. And in the fall, they'd pick cotton and have a place to stay. And in the summer, they would chop cotton. And anyway, when Maggie finished her education, she married Brother Saul. And they had a nice, good farm there in the Tipton Valley. How many of you ever been to Tipton, Oklahoma? Hold up your hand. Oh, the fields are wide into the harvest because I'm inviting you to come. Well, this beautiful, they refer to it as a valley, is about 10 miles north of the Red River. So we're almost in Texas. Actually, the valley is formed by the North Fork of the Red River. And so brother and sister Tipton had a nice farm there, but they decided to give 80 acres of this farm for a home for these children to be constructed. And then brother Saul went around visiting churches, and the Tipton Church of Christ, with their ordained shepherds, agreed to accept this ministry and mission. And folks pitched in, and they raised the money. And you see up in the top this building originally that was constructed. The center part of the building was used for administrative offices, and there was two big wings. You had one, and that's where all the girls stayed. And you had another one, and that's where all the boys stayed. You can see the beds here. They didn't have individual, it was just like a big dormitory, and they had a matron over the boys and over the girls. And the home had a vision that they did not want to say no to any children that needed a good home. And, you know, you look at that, back then there wasn't a whole lot of processing. If you could find space to move another bed in, you could move another child in. And I think about that. You look at all those beds. I was in high school in the early 60s, graduated in 64. So you youngsters, that makes me an old man, right? Older is better, okay? And we heard, us country kids, that the trampolines had now came to town, been invented. And you could go into town where you had lights and play some money and go and jump on the trampolines. And had music in there. I look at all these beds and I think, you know, trampolines been around a lot longer than that. Can't you see a bunch of kids jumping from bed to bed as they go across this big ward that is there? If you look down in the bottom, you see a picture taken a couple of months ago of this same building. And this building is still in use today. We use it for our administrative offices. We have tutoring classes for the kids that may be behind in school. And relief house parents, a place for them to stay. There's a large recreation room, and there's also a guest room, an area there. Now, when I met with the board there, the Tipton home, there were a couple of things they asked me to make sure I did. And one of them was to thank the people that have been supporting us with your prayers and financial support for many, many, many years. Does any of you all know how long this church has been supporting the Tipton home? Or like to make a guess? I heard earlier one of the brothers says he knows at least 50 years. You know, most churches really don't know. You've been just supporting it for so long. And we deeply appreciate that. I want to tell you thanks. All right? Now, if the brethren down there at Tipton call and say, "Did Brother Don thank you all?" Make sure you say yes, so they'll know I'm doing what they asked me to do. The second thing they said is, you know, we have individuals and churches that have faithfully supported us financially for a long time, and we'd like to get to know you better. So there is a guest place there in this original building in which you could come and spend the night. And we'll talk a little bit later about different ministries you might want to do, bring some of your teenagers or whatever. We've got a place for you. And so you are welcome to come. We are asking you to come. Come visit with us. And it could be just, a family, a couple, or whatever. And Thursday's a good day to come because you could visit with the children and be there on campus. And Thursday night we have an all-campus devotional. You will enjoy that, and has all the kids, the staff, and that. And I want to warn you, our kids sing by the letter principle. They just open their mouth and let her fly, but you'll enjoy come and do that. When I look at this building, I think of something, because my wife always said that I never did know what I was going to do when I grew up. I graduated from college and taught high school math for a decade and a little over. And one of the things, and then I started preaching and I've done other things, but to support myself, preaching sometimes don't financially give you the reward. You got to wait a while on that. But I noticed about the public schools, and I have actually taught in school in Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Now, folks in Texas, y'all may have it very different. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you have a school building and it's 35 years old, especially if it's a gymnasium, it's time to float a bond and build another building, right? Okay? And I point this out because you look here, the building we started out in Tipton, Oklahoma, 1924, we're still using it. And I think that makes a statement about stewardship and some of our philosophy. We try to build a building well. You notice that. It's a good brick building. And maintain these buildings and keep on using them. The support for the Tipton home, we are somewhat different than many of our children's homes and unique in that we receive and accept no money at all from the state or federal government, no government money. Now, it is available, but we don't receive it. And hold up your hand if you can think why that we say we're not going to receive any government money. Hey, right up here in the front. She's listening to me. Several of you are. Okay, go ahead. Okay, telling you what to do. You know, where state money goes, state and federal control goes. And our mission is not simply to provide food and clothing and an education for these children, but to nurture them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, as the scriptures teach us. And we feel we've got much greater freedom to accomplish that if we just say, and sometimes it's tough to do it, no to any state or federal money. But there's a second reason why that we do it that way. And I know kind of like I'm preaching to the choir tonight, because you folks have been faithfully supporting this work and perhaps other children's homes, both here in America and perhaps even overseas. I'm delighted when I find churches that are committed to helping homeless children wherever they are. And so you know that the scriptures have put that responsibility on God's people, right? Lots of passages from both the Old and the New Testament. But one comes to mind. You remember when Jesus in the 25th chapter of Matthew's was describing Judgment Day? Remember that? Separation of the sheep and the goats. You know, that's serious. This is Judgment Day issue according to Matthew 25. And Jesus says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you ministered unto me. And I was in prison and you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? And of course, I'm paraphrasing. You understand. When did we do that unto you? And he said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Now, the least of these would include a lot of people, wouldn't it? But certainly it would include the children from broken homes that need to have a Christian home and to be nurtured that way. And another passage comes to mind, and that's from James 1:27. There James writes by inspiration, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit, and that's really a stronger word than we see in the English. It means to nurture, to minister to the widows and the orphans and their affliction, their need, and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. So I'm just simply saying, and you already knew that before I preached that, didn't you? But anyway, that God has put the responsibility of taking care of children in need on the shoulders of God's people, right? And we don't want to take it off your shoulders and give it to the government. So those are the two reasons we receive no money from the state or federal aid. Our support comes from faithful churches such as this one and also from individuals. Actually, at the end of the year, I look at the spreadsheet and see where our financial support is going. And yes, we do have to look at budgets there at the home too, like you do at your home and your family and also here at the church. And we have about as much money, pretty close to the same, comes from individuals as come from churches. And a third financial support is our self-supporting. Let me explain what that means. Going back to even the early decades, there have been folks that have generously remembered the children and the Tipton Home Ministry, and many times with a large gift, perhaps from their will or their estate. We have 7 farms that we're now operating. And right around in the Tipton Valley, we raise cotton. And sometimes, if the water table's not too low, we irrigate. Now, I was raised on a cotton farm, and things are better in the cotton fields today. One, you don't have to pick them with your hand. That's better. Hey, you've been there, brother, huh? You've been there. And the other one is, I can remember when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s in the cotton patch, if you got a 25, a quarter a pound when you sold your gin cotton, that was pretty good. It's a lot better than that now. And I just say, when you're praying for the kids at the home, pray for a good cotton crop, because that's going to help us out too, all right? And we also have money that has been put in a foundation. Now, we try not to use that money, like the principal. But in cases of great need, we do. It's not cut in contract in granite. But the income off of the foundation also goes into the doing this ministry and taking care of the kids and all of that. It's not enough money that we can say, okay, folks, you don't need to send us any money anymore. We got plenty over here in our foundation. And probably it's good that we always are dependable on God's people and faithful churches. You know, that makes us accountable to the church, right? But it has helped a great deal, especially over the last 5 or 6 years. Has any of you all been in somewhat of a financial crunch in the last half a dozen years? And perhaps even the church has to seriously look at different ministries and would love to be able to do more and all those kinds of things. Well, we've had to really look at our finances too, but the fact that we had that solid foundation meant that we were not coming close to closing our doors or anything like that, that the work can continue to go on. So that's the three areas: individuals, churches, and our foundation, in that sense, self-supporting. Our services have evolved through the years. I mentioned we started out with large dormitories. Then in the 50s, we started constructing individual houses. We refer to them as cottages and have Christian house parents, couples that are there with the kids in each of the houses. And we did that because we believe that's more of a family way to raise these children. It's less like an institution. Now, I want to share part of our vision for the future, and that is to place more of our children in Christian homes. We refer to that as Christian home placement. And what that means is the child would still be under the supervision of the Tipton Children's Home, but we would provide the financial support for a Christian couple to raise that child. It'd be monthly support, take care of all the medical expenses and those kind of things. Also providing a counselor and a social worker, professional staff. And we're looking at placing more children in Christian homes. Now, we'll probably always have the campus and children on campus. All children is not possible to place them, and there's different reasons why we would have them there. But the primary reason we're looking at putting more children in Christian homes is we believe that's the best possible place at all to raise children. That's the first reason. There is a second reason, and that is that it's expensive to raise a child on campus. Actually, we can take care of 4 or 5 children placed in Christian homes, even providing financial assistance to those homes on what it costs to raise them there on campus. So it's good stewardship. Oversight of the home, from the very beginning, it's always been under the oversight of the elders. In Canadian, Texas, it was the Canadian Church of Christ with the elders of the Canadian Church. We came to Oklahoma, and we are incorporated. We have to be to receive children in residential care, and so we have a board. This is the second way in which we're rather unique among the Churches of Christ Children's Home. And that is that our board is made up of the elders of the Tipton Church of Christ. The home has always been directed by the elders from its very beginning. And our vision on that is that the home is, after all, a mission and a ministry of the church. This shows some of our cottages up at the top and also some of the bedrooms that the kids would be staying in. It might look like a house that you live in. Could be it's a little bit bigger than the house that you live in. On campus, our children apply for and have places that they can work. Now, our children, we don't give them a spending allowance, but they do have an opportunity to go and have a place they can learn to work. We believe that's good, and they're growing up as to learn responsibility. And
The original 80 acres is now 120 acres, so there's lots of things and places where they can go. Some of the kids like to work more than others. Well, they have more money when they work more than others. And once they began to have some income from their job, and then they'll have a conference with their house parents, and some of that money they can use each week is their spending money, because they go to school and go to all activities just like your kids and grandkids do. But then some of it will be placed in a savings account in their name that will stay with them. And when they transit to becoming adults on their own at age 18 or beyond, when they graduate from high school and some goes to college and some goes to work and different things they do, they'll have a savings account to help them with that transition. And then some of their money, when they visit with their house parents, will be put in the collection when they go to church. And all of our children attend the Tipton Church of Christ. I call this our beautiful rainbow of children. It reminds me of the song that we sing, church. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. We got all colors of the rainbow in our children. All of our school-age children attend Tipton Public School. When you come, see, I'm being positive, not if you come to visit us at Tipton, but when you come, you'll see a sign when you come into town. Tipton, Oklahoma, population 650. So we are a small town in a farming ranching area. And our school system has approximately 300 students, kindergarten through high school. So, you know, we need the public school there in our community. But there's a close relationship between the two, because they also need us. You know, the school would have closed down years ago if it wasn't for the kids to keep the enrollment up there at the school. And many of the kids receive academic awards and recognition. You'll see some of our kids here being granted some recognition there at school. And we're very proud of our kids when they do good, and just like you are of your children and your grandchildren. The kids also participate in extracurricular activities. In the spring, in Tipton School, it's really important in that area. They have speech contests, so the kids will be practicing on their speeches for competition. We are in a farming area, and we encourage our animals, our children, to have animals. We believe that's good for a child to bond with an animal. Also, they learn some responsibility. You know, if you don't feed your sheep or your hog, they'll start communicating. These kids will tell on each other, and so you're learning some responsibility to take care of an animal. These animals are generally show animals, and then at the end of the show, they are auctioned off, and that money again goes into the savings account. Up at the top, you see the football team. We're a small school, and we have eight-man football. We have been connected with the home for three football seasons, and all three football seasons we went to the final game of the state championship. Two of the times we lost, so we were runner-up. Last year, a year ago, we won, so we were state champs. Now, you have to experience state champion team in a small school in a small town, all the excitement. And actually, our kids went to bed about 3 hours late the ninth that we won. Point out that we have eight-man football, and two of them, all three championship teams, had starters that were boys from the Tipton home, and our kids participate in all different school activities. Here's a younger boy, and shows a ribbon that he'd earned and showing his animals at some a show. 2014, graduation, a time to celebrate. One of our graduates from the Tipton home is going into the Navy. One is going to be going to Votech, and another one is going to college. So we are proud of all three of our high school graduates. We have one young man who graduated from Oklahoma State University. That's up at Stillwater. The last 18 months, he also started preaching to a small church about 12 miles out of Stillwater. He's decided to go into ministry, Patrick, our college graduate, and has accepted responsibility as a youth minister at the Mangum Church of Christ and has enrolled in the graduate school at Oklahoma Christian University to prepare further for his ministry. And you can tell, I'm proud of our kids, aren't we? And we're just delighted when things work out well. Children there at the home are active in church activities. I tell folks that our children are going to be at the Tipton Church of Christ three times a week unless they're real sick. And sometimes find someplace and someone that had grown up at the home, they'll say amen to that. So I don't know if we got any Tipton kids that are grown up adults here tonight or not. And every summer our children go to a Bible camp. And we have daily devotionals in the cottages and also Bible study in the cottages with that each family with their house parents. And what am I leaving out? Thursday night we have the all-campus devotional, and I mentioned that before. We are committed to bringing these children up in the nurture of the Lord. And part of that means you teach youngsters as they're growing to serve. Right? And so we emphasize service projects and going on missionary projects age appropriate. You recall a year ago this last May when the terrible tornadoes went through parts of Texas. One was very close to here. We were out that Wednesday night. Was it Granville? The tornado went down here right outside. We were right outside of Denton, intending to go south and visit with a church down, but we saw all the emergency stuff going, and we pulled off and decided we'd wait till things settled down. But there was 1 week of tornadoes in the Oklahoma City area, Yukon, Newcastle, Moore, Oklahoma, and the Southwest Church of Christ there was four houses that were destroyed, Christian families there in that church that lived in, and one person that died. Well, after the tornado, our director at that time was Brother Smith. He called the church, Southwest Church, and said, we'd like to bring our junior high and senior high kids from Tipton to do tornado cleanup and just to help out. And the church folks said, well, we would be glad to have the kids come, and we will arrange for different homes for the kids to stay on while they're up here. But our director said, no, I don't want you to do that, because I know how well you treat our kids when they are guests. And they're not coming to be guests, but to work. So, anyway, the kids brought their sleeping bags and slept at the church and went out and worked. And you see a picture here of a devotional that our junior high and senior high kids that had worked up there. And this is a prayer circle that they had while they were there. I mention these stories to say we strongly believe we want these children to learn how to serve and not just be here and be taken care of and to receive service. Going to talk about opportunities to help, and I'm talking to you. And you said, Brother Don, I knew you was going to do that eventually, right? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about some things. We have a strong tradition at the Tipton home. And, you know, I'd heard of Tipton my whole life. When I was a little bitty child, I remember going up in a church in southwestern Oklahoma that was a one-room schoolhouse, and we didn't have the liberty of having business meetings. You go over here, if it's winter, well, everybody had to stay in there, and us kids would be in there, and all the old folks. Now, when you're 3, 4, 5 years old, that's everybody over 30, 35, and they would talk about what the church is going to do, and I can remember them saying, well, what are we going to do about the Tipton home this year? And I didn't know for sure what it was, but I knew it was very, very important. We have a book that we're giving to you. Some of you may have read it. It's in publication for some time. The title is The Tipton Home Story. It was written by a couple, Christian couple. He was a minister, and she was one of the girls that was raised at the home. And gives a rich history of the story of the home from its beginnings up into present time or close to it, with some appendages in the back. It mentions there, I don't know how long ago it was, but a long time ago, we have encouraged people to come to the home for summer enrichment programs, okay? And that could be anything from craft classes, auto body repair, taekwondo, science camp, something that you have a passion for, you'd like to share with maybe a small group of these kids, or perhaps even maybe all the grade school kids or all the high school kids. My wife retired 3 years ago after teaching 26 years, fifth and sixth grade in a small school. Her passion has always been teaching hands-on science. And when she was in the public school, she would go and she'd get things from Walmart and the grocery store and use that to have safe science projects for the kids to do. Well, she's been taking young people, in this case, teenage and junior high girls, three or four of them, for 1 week of science camp at the Tipton home. I'm going to share this story with you because it illustrates something maybe you can see yourself involved in. Because, you know, our girls, actually our little church that I preach for, adults usually run around 20, and our kids, we've had a whole lot of kids from non-church families that have been with us, some of them as young as they're 8 years old. It's a challenge to nurture kids. We all know that. We all know that. But those children have really blossomed as they have participated in this going to Tipton every summer. They think of that as their ministry. Okay, and we don't tell them any different. And my wife goes on campus from time to time, and they'll say, Sister Terry, where's your daughters? You know. And I mention that because, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing if we can find ways that we can teach the next generation to serve, and especially since I'm speaking tonight about taking care of homeless children, children needing a good home. Maybe because of my math background, I look at statistics and figures a lot. And I look at the spreadsheet of those that are supporting this work, churches and individuals. And we have a lot of individuals that are faithful in sending money, sometimes monthly, sometimes annually. I look at their ages, and you know, most of them are over 55 or 60 years old. Think about that a little bit. We've had a strong passion for taking care of homeless kids in the churches of Christ. I love to read church history. And you go back and read the history of the Lord's Church, the Restoration Movement, and 200 years ago when there are churches that were first being formed in Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky and that area, something very unique about the folks of the churches of Christ. One of them is, we've had a strong passion for Christian education. We started churches and we started Christian schools. Second thing is, we've had a strong passion for taking care of kids that need a good home, Christian home. We started places, they called them orphanages then. I have read that in Oklahoma and Texas has 9 children's homes that I know of affiliated with the Lord's Church. 4 I know of there in Oklahoma. That we're taking care of more children and the homes affiliated with the Churches of Christ in Oklahoma and Texas than any other religious group. Now, we're not the largest religious group. Y'all know that. But that just seems to be in the Church of Christ DNA that we're going to take care of kids that need a good Christian home. You got that? That's our past. But now we look at the age and we're not doing such a good job to pass that down to the next generation. So I want you to think about, and it could be just as a family, come and visit us there at Tipton. Bring your kids. You know, I'm delighted tonight. I get to see the youngsters as well as us older folks, because I want to make sure that you leave tonight with a deeper passion that, yes, I'm going to be committed to taking care of kids that need a good home, whether it's there in Tipton, Oklahoma, or wherever it is all over the world. And you'll have that passion, and when you get to be an adult, you'll carry that, and you will communicate that in the faithful church wherever you are. And so think about that. Something that you could do and a summer enrichment program. Let me ask, any of you ladies, crafty ladies, you're not going to hold up your hand, huh? I'm talking about with your hands. You do crafts with your hands. Well, maybe you'd like to come and spend a few days or a week there with our kids there at the Tipton home. You know, the important thing is not the crafts you're teaching them to do, but that involvement one-on-one and that nurturing that comes from it. And then we have a strong tradition that families become host families. And that goes back well over a half a century. There are several times we try to close the home and let our staff have an opportunity to spend more time with their families, okay? Thanksgiving holidays, Christmas holidays, and a couple of weeks in the summer. And a host family is a family that says, I will take one or two of the Tipton kids, and they can come spend that time with us. Why am I asking you to consider doing that? Well, a couple of reasons. One of them, we need help. Because these kids, most cases, do not need to go back into the family, the biological family where they come from, you know. And so we need help. But there's another reason. It's been a blessing to me that it happens over and over. And, hey, I can't remember. I go to many places, but I think at least one person, we were here 30, 45 minutes early, says they remember having Tipton children in their home decades ago. And often people will come up to me and says, you know, we did that. And we had the child there in our home and maybe two children. And after they were 25, 35, 40 years old, they would still call us and sometimes come and see us. Now, what is that telling me? I'm saying that gives that host family an opportunity to make a very valuable contribution in the nurturing of these children. Think about this a little bit. If a child is in the Tipton home for 10 years, they probably will be in four or maybe five different house parents during that time. But if you are the Christian host family, then you have an opportunity to make a very valuable contribution in the stability and in the nurturing there of that child. And that's just very, very important. So opportunities to help. Asked about being a host parent. Or family. And look at this boy. Who could resist having a good-looking boy like that come stay in your home? And then continue to encourage your congregation to remember Tipton Home in your financial budget, your annual budget. And then I want to talk about, what about putting Tipton in your family budget? And you said, Don, you're beginning to get personal here. Well, it's by intent, okay? Many of you, I'm sure, are supporting good ministries of the kingdom as a family. And I know this congregation, the church, is. You are likely, some of you, sending money on a steady basis to support foreign missionaries and their labor in different fields. And perhaps the prison ministry that's doing so well started here in Texas and gone to other places. And I want to make it real clear, I'm not encouraging anyone to discontinue or lower their support of any good Christian ministry to take up support to the Tipton children and the Tipton home. That's not what I'm here about. But I want to break this down where you can perhaps get a handle on this. And as I mentioned, a good portion of our support does come from individuals. Now, let me ask you this. What does it cost to go out to eat around here? A couple. Two people go to eat where you're sat down and served. I'm not talking about going to McDonald's and getting, my wife calls it the punky burgers, you know, the dollar menu. We're not, you're messing my illustration up there. But if you go and sit down, hold up your hand, a couple, you men, you husbands, your time to shine, you can admit you've taken your wife out to eat. Uh-huh. What does it cost around here? Okay. $25, two people to go out and eat. And, of course, that might vary. It might be someplace 20, it might be 35. What about saying that I could put that aside and send that amount each month to the Tipton home? We have addressed envelopes if you wanted to send one in and then kind of get started. My wife has started putting this kind of a thing on a bank draft. My wife has always balanced our checkbook and the ministries we've been supporting as a family. She's always sent the checks out. She started just putting it on a bank draft. I have a theory about my wife balancing the checkbook. You want to hear it? That way, if we run out of money before the end of the month, it's her fault. You got that? Okay. And so she started putting this on a bank draft and then just letting the bank doing the paperwork and the different things like the Tipton Home and others. Then they take that amount out each month, come by our display table, and you, if you'd like to do something like that, yeah, you could pick up a bank draft and do that. And then what about times of funerals? You know, we send flowers at funerals, don't we? A lot of times I've been where I was in churches and discussed, should we send flowers to this funeral? Or individuals, someone passes away, we send flowers. Why do we do that? I think there's a good reason. We want the family, lost a loved one, to know we're thinking about them during this time, right? Let me plant some seed. Think about it. What about sending an honorarium, the amount of money you would send on flowers, to the Tipton Home? We would send an acknowledgement to everyone you want to of the family that had lost a loved one. They can put that with the paperwork that they get from the funeral home, and that would be a reminder that there is an honorarium set aside, a memorial there for this person. My wife and I have started doing that, and we've had people that have written back and says, oh, we just appreciate that even more than if it was flowers that we know are going to fade, because we know this is going to make a difference in a child's life. But you know, it does more than make a difference in a child's life right then. I had the special opportunity about 4 months ago to speak at the Sunset School of Ministry in their chapel, and they had about 300 students that were there. But before we started, the young man, about 19 years old, named Luke, that led the songs, and he said this. He says, you know, I've heard of the Tipton Home all my life. My grandmother with two younger brother sister came to be at the home when they were little children. And she told me all these stories about growing up in the Tipton Home. And after she graduated from high school, she went to Abilene Christian, and the home helped her to do that. We try to do what we can to help kids that want to go to college and have that ability. And there she met what became her grandfather. He graduated from Abilene Christian and wound up going to Illinois and spent his ministry life doing preaching in Illinois. And he said, you know, she had a cotton stalk that had been bronze painted to remind her of picking cotton on the Tipton cotton farm. And when she passed away, she lived to be 86 years old. At that time, we had the Tipton Home Singers as our kids that would sing, and they'd travel around and actually two or three, four states sometime, go on a two-week tour, sort of sing for their supper. I had a sister mention about having listening to them years and years ago. And their singing was recorded, and so that was the music that was played at her funeral service. And then he made this statement, which you think about. He says, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today planning to go into ministry and mission work, which that's what the Sunset School of Ministry is all about, if it hadn't have been for Tipton Home providing a Christian home for my grandmother. So I say that to just kind of encourage you, if you send something to the home, whatever it is, we've been talking about flowers, it could be regular or whatever, you're not just buying some food and some clothes for a kid for a period of time. This is something that will affect not only that child, but the next generation and the generation after that. So it goes to an effect for several generations. All the memorials will be in the Christian Home Messenger. We send it out every 3 months. Got pictures of the kids and what's going on campus. I'm sure it comes to this church since y'all support it, but you all can't read it if it's just to the church. We want every family here to get it. How many of you are getting the Christian Home Messenger? Hold up your hand. My. The fields are wide into the harvest. Plenty of opportunities to convert. Come by our table, put your name and address, and you will get that every quarter. And in the back of it, it'll have the memorials for those that are passed and those that want to be remembered that sent money in. I talked about our foundation. A lot of that comes from wills. And I just want to plant some seed there When I first thought about this, I thought, well, that's for rich people, you know? I want you to think about this, though. You know, good estate planning would probably benefit every one of us. Common, ordinary people, and even younger families. You know, if you sat down with a financial advisor and a estate planner, you could put something in there for your retirement years, okay? And you might want to put something in there for the Tipton Home and other ministries that you have a compassion for. So if you'd like to get some information on that, we'll give you a contact there to the home, and we'll try to put you with a good estate planner, and you might want to do something like that. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let me give you my Cotton Patch translation, paraphrase of that. You never can outgive the Lord. And the church says, amen. And then we asked you to continue to pray for these children that they will make good decisions. And I especially asked you to pray for our house parents. You know, my wife and I, as I said, we travel around among the churches and we're treated like honored guests. But those house parents are there 24 hours a day dealing with some real demanding situations with children that need some special nurturing. And so we just, they're the real heroes of this work. They really are. The Christian men and women. So we, Christian couples that have dedicated themselves to doing this service in for the kingdom's sake. And that means for these children's sake. So pray for them as these house parents are making daily sacrifices to raise them in a Christian environment. Remember, our support must come from people of compassion, and that means people like you. And this is my last picture. And that's the picture taken about a year ago of our children in front of this original historic building with the house parents, staff, and the elders of the Tipton Church of Christ, the shepherds, and the members of the board. And I want to tell you a story that illustrates how that you all here fit in and are connected to the ministry there at the Tipton Home. It comes from the Old Testament. You remember Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, and they had to fight some battles. On one occasion, they went up against the Amalekites, who had a mighty military that was trained. They had iron swords, and the scripture said that the Israelites didn't have any. They had chariots. There's a scripture that said that they had war camels, like the sands on the seashore. And the Israelites had been slaves for 400 years. So they go into battle, and Moses raises up his hands towards God, the heavens. And the children of Israel were winning a great victory. But he couldn't hold his hands up all day. And his hands began to go down. So Aaron and Hur came and stood beside him and held his hands up. And they won a great victory for God. That's where you folks are. We have a commitment that we don't want to say no to any children, any child that needs a Christian home. And that's possible by the grace and the power of God. And you're continuing to come and stand beside us and hold up our hands as we allow those children to come to us. It's time for an invitation song. So you might want to get your hymn book. But before we start singing it, I had mentioned about this strong tradition in the church, the Lord's church, just a passion to take care of homeless kids. It's really there. And if I have fanned the flames tonight, I've did what I came here to do. All right? It's a tradition in the church. We've got some other traditions. One of them is that we get together to worship, we're going to have an invitation song, right? Now, the scriptures never specifies that every time the church meets, you have an invitation song. We know that. But that's a very, very good tradition, isn't it? Actually, I want to remind you, the Lord's invitation is always there. You recall where Jesus said, come unto me, all you the weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. For you shall find rest unto your souls. Look around you, church. This is your church family. Perhaps in your walk with God, you desire your church family to pray with you and for you. Or perhaps, you know in your heart, you never came to the Lord. You've never been born of the water and the Spirit. And I'm speaking of being baptized. Well, this is the Lord's invitation, and this is your church family to encourage you and to assist you. So why not respond as the church stands to sing the invitation? Amen.